What's up, everyone? We're back. This is Dr. Lee Unhinged.
Dr. Maxfield.
And I'm Dr. Shaw, and we have a bunch of exciting topics today for you. Of course, quick life update, then we're going to talk about our product of the day, and then a few anecdotes here of things that have changed our patient's skin. So a lot of times patients will come into us and they'll say, this thing you recommended or this thing that I've done has instrumentally changed my skin. And we want to highlight some of those things just from our experience in the office. Then we're going to be talking about this highly debated retinol ban in the EU. So in Europe, apparently retinol is banned. Is it? Is it not? We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to wrap up with some body skincare trends for 2024 coming out of Allure magazine.
Nice. Perfect. Perfect. So life updates, you've got the biggest news. I need to open with you.
No, I feel like we're dragging this one out.
The same thing.
It's okay. A brand is coming. The brand is here. And the post brand. No, the brand launched Remedy skincare brand launched yesterday. Is it yesterday?
Yesterday.
You want to know what happened? I did something I haven't done in ages. I don't know, years. I took a nap today.
Good.
Midday. You know, when at 3 o'clock you asked me about what time we were going to do this and record.
Yeah.
And I didn't respond, which I don't respond often all the time. So it wouldn't be out of the norm for you, but that's because I took a fat nap after yesterday's grand opening.
Good. I have no doubt you needed it.
Very action-packed day. We launched to all of you. And, you know, pre-launch, someone had mentioned in the comments, Dr. Shaw, we got you. Don't worry. And I don't know, it gave me some sense of peace. We launched the brand. And you guys showed up. So thank you to the Dr. Lee family for showing up on launch day. You guys left tons of comments on the YouTube video, the Instagram comment section, tons of orders had come in, and, you know, really grateful to all of you. Far exceeded my expectations. And you guys really did show up for us. So thank you so much. It went better than I expected. There were only a few hiccups during the day on our back end side. But overall, everything went super smoothly. My team, you know, worked super hard. We had our head of e-com up at 3 a.m. She was up working, troubleshooting things, made everything flow perfectly, was fixing things on the spot. So I'm just so grateful to everybody on the team and to all of you for supporting our brand launch. And I can't wait to hear all the feedback as you all start receiving products.
Nice, nice, nice. That's so cool. Yeah, I love hearing the back end stuff because I think that's the most meaningful part. There's just like a huge personal investment in this, a relational investment, even with you all, like the fact that comment showed up. And I mean, really, I was actually watching the comments too throughout the day because, you know, we do look at the comments, and there's actually a very meaningful, almost a relationship with us when we get to see feedback like that, because there was a lot of work. It's like genuinely he wouldn't have brought these to you if he did not believe these would be helpful. And I firmly 100% believe that these are the best. It's actually, I was thinking about this in content creation. I was like, how am I going to create content and not throw his stupid products in every video? Not because they're yours, but because they're good.
I appreciate that. No, it's funny that you say that. Like the community, like it's so interesting to read the comments and the dialogue between us, you and me, and them analyzing our personalities and relationship.
Yeah, I've seen some funny ones.
But, you know, Dr. Maxfield, a brother, always extremely supportive. And, you know, he's working on tons of projects himself that will be rolling out soon. So we're all very, very excited. The comments have been incredible. A lot of times when a personality or an influencer launches a brand, it's always kind of hit or miss with how the community perceives that brand. But my feedback from the comments from everybody was, this is exactly what you've talked about. And I love what you created. Essentially, like it is solving a problem in the skincare space. So I think the message ultimately ended up resonating well with everybody with the products that we chose. So I just now at this point, it's just getting feedback from all of you once you receive products and getting better and better with time. And I will be listening to feedback. It's not a one-way conversation. Like I'm, you know, constantly looking at our customer service messages that are coming in regarding shipping and the experience on the website and changing things as you update them, just like I was doing with Skinpedia, as you were all adding comments and giving feedback to us. So this is a two-way conversation with the brand, and I'll continue to evolve and get better with all of you.
No, it's so true. That's absolutely a true promise. I know he's going to follow through with that. My sister texted me and she was like, hey, what do you think about Shaw's dark spot serum versus the blank, one of my other personal favorites, because I don't want to like bash it, that I have now. And I was like, Shaw's is better, legit the best. And she's like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's the one I was thinking about buying. And I said, yeah, do it. But that's how my texts went throughout the day. Like our colleagues and like, you know, Dr. Rice and all these people like, oh, what do you think of it? And like, it's the best, like, it's amazing. Like, get it while you can.
We got some other stuff coming that's going to be shocking the world also. That's like even more, not more exciting, but just along the same lines of like really trying to push the needle on skincare. So I'm glad there was a good reception. Great reception from the derm community.
Yeah.
Derm colleagues really showed up, which, you know, some of them I haven't spoken to in a long time, but they all were posting about the brand, looking at the ingredients, giving reviews, really, really showed up. So that was a big, you know, that was another affirmation that we were on the right path with the brand, was just getting that, because derms are critical and they kind of know, they know better than anybody when you're just selling something essentially. And so they really seem to like it quite a bit. So yeah, so I'm just, you know, I'm still in this like post-launch phase right now, but I'm really happy with how everything turns out, but the work's not over, let's just say.
I'm going to close that with a quote from our program director, former program director. Our colleague, Dr. Cassell, showed him Dr. Shaw's skincare line and quote, 30 minutes later, quote, that's really cool. Muneeb has his own makeup brand, end quote.
For those of you who don't know, we were trained by the biggest jokester of all time. You know, he constantly made clinics so much fun. Cared about us a ton, but yeah, would joke on us all the time, constantly, but was always ultimately our biggest supporter in the end. So not unexpected from him. I actually have to still respond to those messages.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, what I forget where we were even going today with this. What were we talking about next?
All right. So next up, any life updates from you? You're going to New York for a little bit.
Yeah. It's another busy week for me. New York and then Tennessee for a wedding, and then coming back and flying out again next week. But I'm living your life now, and I don't envy you.
Oh, the travel. I'm getting a little bit of a break, 2 weeks, and I could not be happier to just be in one place with my dog and my wife and just hanging out.
Nice. But yeah, it'll be a good trip. I'm going to the L'Oreal family and seeing the Mavishi family there. Like, great, great, great crew. Like, the behind the scenes in a lot of these brands, just really cool people, great people, and they put a lot of thought into this. So I'm excited about that trip.
That'll be very cool. So give us updates on that. And then let's hop into the things that changed our patient's skin. And this was your comment. You said that, you know, some patients come in and they tell you things. So tell me what you've been hearing from your patients. What's working for them? What's not working for them?
Yeah, some of these are a little more expected than others. One of which was recently, though, it was a red light. And this is not a patient who follows us on social media, because often enough that they will find out they do. It's actually quite fun when it's a surprise. But she's like, yeah, the red light has transformed my skin. This patient actually has eczema. No, it's not like studied in that population. I'm not trying to like say it is. But she said the most impactful thing over her skin for the last year, and her skin looks great. With the other things she has going on, like acne and aging things, was red light. And I asked her, which one are you using? Because I always ask. I've had some people find some scammy ones lately, and I'm trying to hunt down how our pictures got associated with these other brands. But yeah, this one was the Cure one, just ironically. But I think it's a great mask, LED. When I talked to her about it, it's like, the reason red light is such an easy recommendation, because we were just getting into the red light, blue light debate in the room. I was like, red light is just universally recommendable. It's good to modulate inflammation. It's gentle. It helps with most aging skin problems. And there's not much of a downside, like the dark spots potentially in theory with blue light. This one is just kind of a soft, easy recommendation to supplement your skincare routine. Now, I think it's a supporting role. I don't think it's a primary role for any skin concern. But again, it's kind of like niacinamide. It's kind of just helpful for many things.
No, I completely agree. And you're right. We show up in a lot of ads for different LED masks that we have not endorsed. I think the only LED mask that I've endorsed, and it's only because it's the one that I've used the most, is the Cure mask. Other than that, there are plenty out there that are FDA cleared, and there are plenty more nebulous brands. In fact, like really actually early on, Dr. Maxfield was one of the first times we had to have our manager take down an ad because we had made a YouTube video about a mask, and we had kind of given it a soft recommendation. And then they took clips of that video and started running ads on it without our permission. And actually, all of you, the community, are really good about calling those things out to me in DMs. So a lot of people direct message me screenshots of ads and say, do you really endorse this product? And a lot of times, no. Like a lot of times ads with our faces on them, at least with me, I don't know if you've seen this, Dr. Maxfield, are, I actually had one just show up on my own feed on TikTok of me, of an old video of me talking about dark spots, and they were promoting a link to Amazon to some product I've never heard of or seen before. So be very, very careful of that. You know, if you see an ad from a brand that you've never heard of before, whether or not we're truly endorsing that, because you could ultimately get scammed.
Yeah, I've seen so many of you. The most annoying thing is that I used to report yours to TikTok all the time. They don't care. They don't care 0%.
They don't come down. Like they're so difficult to come down. And not just that, but like they make you fill out a ton of paperwork just to say like that's a picture. Like they can't like simply be like, yes, me the account is reporting a video of me. Yeah. You know, they make you fill all this paperwork like with your identification and all this stuff. So it really is kind of crazy. And so I've actually given up. Like I didn't even report that video. I was like, whatever.
Nothing happened.
I can't do anything about these anymore. And like, you know, TikTok, it doesn't respond, and neither does Instagram. So yeah, so just be careful out there. I am a big believer in LED, and I'm completely on your side with this. I just had it. So I got a personal trainer, a little side note, which by the way, I'm like kind of disappointed today. She sent me like an audio message that she's like leaving the gym. And so now like I kind of like finally got into working out again.
Oh, no.
And now like my personal trainer, so I'm like now back at square one. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but, we had this conversation today about the same exact thing, but it was more in the fitness and nutrition, space. So
they love it.
You know, she was saying ultimately that she tells people like, if you're not working out and you're not optimizing your nutrition from like what you're eating for your meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that she doesn't recommend supplements. Because supplements are meant to be taken once you've reached plateaus where you've kind of maximized everything short of supplements. And then she'll recommend things that, you know, whether it be protein powder or creatine, you know, whatever. I don't know much about these things. So I'm not going to comment on their efficacy. But she's like, I use supplements to break through different plateaus once people are actually doing the basics, right? And I'm like, that's exactly the same thing I feel about, you know, these LED masks and even procedures in the office, where if you're not, and we're going to talk more about this in a longer YouTube video, but if you're not maximizing what you can do with skincare, your retinol, and your sunscreen, then, you know, you're really buying an LED mask. It's probably going to be like just buying a vitamin, and you're not really optimizing the other things in your routine.
So yeah, there it is. Anyway, so LED consensus, helpful. Yeah, the nutrition world loves LED though. It's very interesting. They love mitochondria too. They're obsessed with the mitochondria. But what's something a patient for you has mentioned?
I think probably the main, I would say of things that like I've recommended to patients, I will say, and the thing that I would say that people approach me the most in the street about is, hey, you recommended retinol or tretinoin and it fundamentally changed my skin, which is not like trendy or fun. And we've mentioned retinol and tretinoin. In fact, I have merch coming that says retinol on the chest just because I'm saying like, It's always going to be, we'll do some giveaway.
I have some merch coming too. I'm going to surprise you with it. It's going to be fun. We're going to like reveal our shirts.
Yeah. we'll maybe do some giveaways for it. It won't be for sale, but we'll maybe do some giveaways to the community. Firm believer in retinol. I think it's a time tested thing, but I would say like all the things that people just like come into me and they're like, I did this and it made my skin better. Drinking more water, like I would say, like kind of universally across the board,
really,
which that's is like, and it's not like people will just say, yeah, you know, when I drink more water, my skin is better. There's no science there, and we've talked about this before. That you know, the water in your body is tightly regulated by your kidneys, so you know, there's not like drinking more water isn't necessarily going to make your skin better. At least there's no studies that necessarily show that, but. I don't know if it's anecdote. I don't know if it's people are drinking more water when they're generally more healthy, less stressed. And that is leading to better skin, but who knows? People swear by drinking more water. I would like to hear in the comments what people's experience is with water intake and their skin quality.
Yeah, I hate that one. That's terrible. It's so not scientific.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just being honest. That's what they tell me. That's the anecdote that comes in the office.
Yeah, that's fine.
So let's next talk up. This is a big topic. So, you know, hot off the press. And it's sort of interesting when things like this come out, because the way the internet frames it is always really interesting. And the way that influencers take a headline and run with it is always really interesting. So this one is about the retinol ban coming out of Europe. So is retinol getting banned, Dr. Maxfield?
Right. So the answer is no, actually. It's just being regulated more, in a sense.
Yeah. So this is new data coming out of the EU. Ultimately, they do these really good ingredient reviews and breakdowns to decide what's safe to use in cosmetic products. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're like, you know, the be all end all, right? Like, it's not like everything they say is always going to be true, but this is coming out of the scientific committees on consumer safety. And this is something that the European Commission put out in, I don't know what the date is here. It's actually October. This is adopted during the plenary in October of 2022. So this is relatively old information, but maybe just getting picked up now because the new regulations go into effect. So I'm not sure about why it's becoming popularized now, but ultimately what I'm seeing on social media is people are saying retinol is now banned in Europe. And what that ends up trickling down to and is interpreted by Americans is that if retinol is being banned by the EU, that means that retinol is not safe. And why are all these people recommending it? If Europe doesn't think it's safe, why should we think it's safe? So then people start to, you know, fearmonger or whatever around this. And so one, the truth is it's not being banned, but it is being regulated, the concentrations that you can use over the counter in products that are going to be available to just like buy at, you know, I don't know what they have in Europe, but like Boots or one of the, you know, French pharmacies, right? So they're saying the maximum in a facial cream will be 0.3% retinol, and the maximum in a body lotion will be 0.05% retinol. So I don't know when this goes into effect, but you'll see lower concentrations of retinol. And now that I, you know, formulated products, I know quite a bit about this process. So I could definitely lend into what this is going to look like from a brand side, but from a consumer side, what do you think this means?
I think it's a step back in efficacy, personally. I mean, retinol is a more gentle option for a lot of people. And so the main point, the main reason they did this, which was interesting, and it was an interesting read, it always is, but they the concern is that basically if you're eating a normal amount of vitamin A in your diet and you're absorbing some topically, they're like, well, maybe in theory it could actually be accumulating to toxic levels. And this is because retinol or retinoids are fat soluble. So they say in America, we might have the most expensive pee in the world, and certainly the most expensive pee in the history of the world. And that's because we pee out water soluble vitamins like vitamin C, biotin, things like that. You consume it, you pee out a lot of the extra fat soluble vitamins like vitamin D, vitamin A. You can store a lot of that in your fat cells and it can accumulate. And so their concern is, okay, it adds up. Whether or not that's actually happening is highly questionable. And this again speaks to, I think, the still the best summation of EU versus FDA. Not that I like trust the FDA explicitly, but the biggest difference is like EU seems to say, is it possible? And they will drop the hammer. Funny thing is they also approve things very quickly. They approve things quickly and drop things very quickly. The FDA seems to harp on what's probable. So conversely, it takes the FDA decades to approve something that's been approved in the EU. And then they might hang on to it for a lot longer. So I don't know. I think this, my personal take is, how's it going to affect the consumer? You might see less efficacy in your retinol products overall, less irritation. I think you can probably more safely use retinol products that you may not have known the concentration of before. But otherwise, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference in terms of your product selection, availability, or your complex retinol products over the counter.
Yeah. You know, I think, yeah, you're going to see a max out on what, you know, is going to be available over the counter. So maybe you're going to need to move to prescription quicker. I'm not convinced. Okay. You know, after doing this for a while, I'm not convinced that anyone is properly reporting their retinol concentrations in their formulas. One, I don't know, like, you know, how brands, what brands are considering retinol. That's one question. And because I've heard from our manufacturers that the retinol, the way they decide to put the concentration on formula is kind of up to them, which I'll explain in a little bit. And then the second thing is, I don't know that most brands are even disclosing their retinol concentrations right now. So my assumption is actually that most products with retinol are going to actually be under 0.3% pretty much across the board. Like, I don't think that we're going to find out that a lot of products are going to be taken off the market, except for maybe a select few with higher retinol concentrations. Our dark spot treatment has 0.1% retinol, and our pore treatment has 0.3% retinol. Now, I could have said that the dark spot treatment had 1% retinol, and I could have said that my pore treatment had 3% retinol, because our retinol is encapsulated retinol, and some brands report the encapsulated retinol percent, but it's not pure retinol percent. The pure retinol percent is less, because the encapsulation process is made up of other filler ingredients that contribute to, like, the overall weight of that raw ingredient. But in the actual formula, pure unencapsulated retinol, pure form of retinol that's going to be hitting your skin, is 0.1 and 0.3 respectively. Some brands will report that as 1% and 3%, which is not accurate to the pure retinol percent. So my question for everybody is, like, what is your real retinol percent pure? Because that's going to be the one that matters for EU regulation. So that's the first question. And the second question is, if you did have 1% retinol, how is your product under $50? That's a question I have, because retinol is expensive when it's stable. And it drives a lot of the cost of our formulas. And like, no matter where we look for vendors, no matter how many, like, we looked for hundreds of vendors for retinol. We even looked for our own self-encapsulation process. Retinol was still a major driver of cost for us. And so if we were to triple the concentration in the pore formula, there's no way we could have sold the product for $32. No way. We would not be profitable at all. So, and we're like, we're thin margins because we're trying to keep prices as low as possible. So I just don't see how, it's possible, I guess, if, like, you increase your volume and you're ordering a ton, then, you know, you get quantity discounts. But, you know, I am a little bit curious to know, like, how many are actually using over 0.3% pure retinol.
Yeah,
that's just curiosity for me. And if you are, DM me on Instagram. Let me figure out how we can start getting lower prices of our retinol.
See, that's so true, though, because it took me all that time. There's a study that was actually based off of what you're talking about. It took me forever to find it. There was a study that looked at various over-the-counter retinol products, and it was shown that these over-the-counter products had anywhere from 130% of the stated concentration to 0% of the stated concentration. And it was in 2001, the Journal of Cosmetic Dermatology. And so it does speak to the variability in over-the-counter retinol products. And I don't think those were based in the US, but it's still kind of questionable in terms of the quality you get, especially if you do, like you said, deal with a brand who doesn't disclose their percentages or uses verbiage to confuse the percentages versus what's actively in there, which makes sense. Like, because a lot of the brands, when we do when I do sponsored ads, they emphasize, yes, this is pure retinol. Like, this is pure vitamin C. And that's as to why, because there's not the filler ingredients that are create this, like, body concentration that's not representative.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And we decided to disclose our percentages. It was a little bit of a question I have, and that's something I probably want some feedback from everybody on. So I looked at the ingredients that I thought the percentages were relevant to the performance, right? Like, tranexamic acid, the studies are at 3%. Niacinamide, 4 to 5%. So I decided, and retinol, you know, exactly like 0.1%, right? I decided to disclose the percentages for the formulas or the ingredients that performance is related to the percentage. And so a lot of brands don't do that, but I wonder if do people care? Is it important to you? You know, then you have brands like Good Molecules that disclose the percentages of every ingredient, which to me, I don't know if it would be helpful to disclose like the squalane concentration in your formula. Like it's more of a texture and performance question. So we just did percentages. Like, do you prefer if brands don't disclose them at all because it's just giving you more information than you need? Do you prefer something middle where the actives, the ones that are actually doing the performance, are disclosed, or do you prefer everything to be disclosed? I'm just curious.
I would say the middle. I don't know where everyone else is going to fall on this. I'll be interested to see what they say too, but there's a reason. I think the middle ground gives enough information to build trust in the actives, but it still leaves enough of the mystery in terms of the inactive that one can't be immediately replicated. But then two, you know, it still does make like unique formulation that you don't need to know everything. Like, I don't really care what the concentration of cedarol alcohol is in like my serum. So I do think it is helpful though for the building trust. And I do think for your brand in particular, I think it adds another layer of like bulletproofness. Like it's hard to critique the formulations because of so many things. Like, and when I look at a brand like Rock, like I love Rock, I trust Rock, but I wish their retinol had a little bit more to disclose on it, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, this is a good cream. Why? I don't know, but it's pretty gentle. It works.
It is nebulous. I remember we were at the AED with hanging out with the Rock team, who I like the Rock team a lot, actually. They're really, really good. Somebody asked them, like, what's your, like, one of the derms asked them, right? Because they want to know, like, that's a, you know, irrelevant. Derms that like asking questions like
this. Important to us.
They're like, what percentage is your retinol? And they're like, you know, it's not about that. It's about the formula. And it's like, I do believe that to be true.
Yeah.
You know, percentages certainly aren't everything. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily mean like if something is a higher percentage, that's a good thing. But, you know, it is somewhat relevant, especially when it comes to actives. And, you know, there's another brand who doesn't disclose is Skin Better Science, which is a high performance, expensive skincare brand, but they don't tell you what percentages they're using in their formulas either. You know, for better or for worse, I guess. I mean, you know, part of it, you're right, is like proprietary. The other part of it is transparency. You know, you're kind of balancing the proprietary with the transparency of your brand. And I don't know where consumers fall with that nowadays. I mean, people trust some of these brands that don't disclose any of these things too. So I don't know. I don't know where like the answer is or where the puck is shifting. I think, you know, there's a brand do skincare, just speaking to transparency, that disclose their cost of goods. So they tell you how much it costs to formulate their products, ship their products, and the final cost of goods to you. They basically disclose their profit margin. Which is an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know like where people want transparency or need transparency. To me, it would be like enough to make a good decision about your skin. That's what I would want to know, I guess, for myself, is like, can I know that this is a good product based on what they're disclosing? And also, I would want to know I would want them to disclose the things that are valuable to me, like from maybe even a moral ethical standpoint. Like maybe that's, like if I cared a lot about being vegan, or, you know, if cruelty free was very important to me, if where my ingredients were being sourced from was really important to me, like if, like, you know, all those things were important to me, then I would look for those things as far as transparency as well. So just trying to figure out, I guess, like what you disclose and what you don't disclose is a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fair question too.
But I guess that now in the EU, I guess everyone will have to disclose, at least to the government, what their percentages are. And if you see products still on the market that were saying 1%, then they were probably never 1% retinol ultimately. And then if somebody knows something I don't know about the price of retinol, please DM me, because we really are trying to bring down the price of our retinol. All right, next topic is body skincare is taking off. According to Allure, in case you missed it, body care is booming. So this is coming from Hannah Baxter at Allure. Have you seen this in your patients? Have you seen this in content online? And what are we actually recommending for the body?
Yeah, I have seen it. Oh yeah, I actually seen it a lot. If you remember the dermatologist feed, I think more of them are branching out like beyond face and patients too. I guess we've always had a lot of questions, especially with like crepey skin on the arms and neck. But I do feel like it has had an uptick. And I think that content is performing well. Like it feels a little bit fresh, you know. Everyone has had their face to the fullest for the last 2 years, 3 years. And even though we do dedicate some time in talking to body, I think it does resonate to people. And maybe at this point, 3 years down the road, since the COVID boom, I don't know if you can say that word actually, the
people, COVID boom?
No, or, just COVID.
Since COVID.
We'll find out. But
I don't know that they're censoring that word anymore.
I don't have no clue. I don't know. But anyway, so maybe over 3 years, though, people have figured out their facial skin, like to some extent, to where they're moving on to other goals. But I think it's good. I'm glad because we do spend a lot of time talking about body skin in the office, and more on social media is all certainly better.
Certainly, yeah. A lot of patients come in with issues on the body, whether it's ingrown hair. Like, I do think that, you know, a lot of what we see in the office, like I always say, like people don't come to the office because they're like hanging out, you know, they come with a problem, right? Like if you're making an appointment to a dermatology office, right? Like I always look at it from like my perspective. I'm like, okay. And I think you need to, as a physician, if any physicians are listening to us, I think to have empathy for your patients, you kind of like need to look at, you know, what that experience is going to be like for a patient. And like, as a patient, like I would never just like make an appointment with the dermatologist to like say what up, at least not my first introduction. I could see maybe later on in life, like, you know, you see a dermatologist, then you're like, okay, maybe I need some regular skin checks, which we do recommend. But I think for most people, they come to the dermatologist for the first time with a problem that needs to be solved. And so it's something always like they come in a question about, whether it's going to be something on the face. Maybe it is wrinkles. Maybe it is acne. Maybe it is rosacea. But, you know, a lot of times it is things like keratosis pilaris on the body. It could be ingrown hairs. It could be hidradenitis suppurativa. It could be a rash of some sort, whether it's eczema or a fungal infection on the feet. So a lot of people come in with a problem. We give them some type of treatment. We ask them to follow up, and then they become a regular patient for other things in the office. But usually they lead with a problem, and a lot of those problems are body related issues. And so I think now with all the consumerism, do we need expensive body care products? Is this just going to add, like, can you use the same things on the face that you use on the body? Somebody asked me, right? Like, actually, like we get questions now, customer service questions about the dark spot treatment. Can I use it on the chest? Like, yeah, you could use it on the chest for sun damage, and, you know, dark spots on the chest and discoloration on the chest. But it get pretty expensive pretty quickly. So, you know, I think with body care, you know, you really need to try to optimize value, especially because you're just treating a larger surface area. So I do think it's valuable to have dedicated body products just from a cost perspective, because body products tend to be cheaper per fluid ounce than facial products.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very realistic. It's funny, like you talk about costs, and like in my hands, I'm like holding and coddling the, where is this thing? The Necessaire Body Retinol at this very moment. It's so top tier. I recommend this in the office, but I also recommend the inexpensive alternative, not because it's equally efficacious in my opinion, but because the price is a real sticking point for many people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you've like the Gold Bond Retinol, like that's a good starter. The Verse Body Retinol.
Ooh, I don't know about this Gold Bond Retinol. Is it Gold Bond Body Retinol?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
What's the percentage? I think Verst has a 0.1% body retinol. That is the one we recommended on YouTube. And then I think Naturium also has a 0.1% body mm-hmm. retinol. I think they're doing about 5 ounces for around like $20-something, which is like really good. That's really good. I would estimate that they have sort of razor thin margins on a product like that. But it's the nature of body, like bodies has worse margins.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I see the percentage here on their website.
It's 0.01% retinol.
Where do you see that?
On
oh, there it is. Yeah, the website. Yep.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. So Necessaire has a 0.1%. So that's 10 times the concentration of Verst.
And how much is it?
It is. For 5 fluid ounces, 5.1. How about 80 bucks? Let's see. Here.
Oof.
85.
It's devastating.
No, 55. 55.
55. Okay. Ah, you just pulled the famous the famous trick, their famous Dr. Steven Feldman trick. Yeah. Do you know this trick?
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh yeah, it's a shot every single day. No, I mean it's like once every 3 months actually.
And then you're like, oh, that's not bad. So when you said 85, I'm like, ugh. And then you're like 55, I'm like, not bad. Had you led with 55, I would have been like, oof, that's tough. Now I don't know. You've totally thrown off my perspective. No, I mean, I think for the value it's providing, it's not bad. Compared to like, you know, 0.01% retinol, I don't know how much that's going to do for you. That's a pretty low concentration ultimately. But, you know, it might have other value in it as well. But that one, you know, the one from Necessaire has got like some alpha hydroxy acids. Well, let's talk a little bit about like, what do we do actually recommend for body care?
I legit recommend this all the time. Yeah. I'd tell people it's a bit expensive, but if you have crepey skin, dark spots on your skin, I genuinely believe this Necessaire one is like one of your best options if you want to commit to an over-the-counter product.
I think we've probably talked about this in other videos, but in general with body care, critical, you know, good body wash that's not going to overstrip your skin. Moisturizing within 5 minutes of getting out of the shower is going to keep your skin hydrated. I like, you know, La Roche-Posay's Lipikar line, their AP moisturizer, mm-hmm. is just overall a good moisturizer. Now, if you want to go into more advanced skincare to treat, like you said, crepey skin, keratosis pilaris, ingrown hairs, anything like that, Necessaire's got a really good body retinol that's going to do a lot of those things. It's going to get rid of dark spots. It's going to get rid of crepey skin. And then other things that we see on the body, back acne, you know, we were recommending benzoyl peroxide. You can listen to our last podcast, you know, benzoyl peroxide or salicylic acid cleansers. You know, keep your benzoyl peroxide out of the oven. And then, you know, other things that we see, we won't talk about hidradenitis suppurativa here. I think it's a much longer discussion. And then probably I would say that's pretty much the main things that I see.
I use urea all the time.
Oh,
I'm
yes,
the urea king. Ooh. I'm the king of urea in my state. I know it. I'm like, yeah, 40% for urea for you. Here's where you can get it. Here's your good RX coupon. Here's where you use it. If you can't get it at your pharmacy, get it on Amazon. It may not be any good, but that's your alternative.
Yeah, so urea, incredible ingredient for the skin. It's both moisturizing and exfoliating when it's at least 10%. So again, another ingredient that's really important depending on the percentage. But my mom, you know, cracked thickened heels, always said the only thing that made it better was urea cream. So I use urea all the time for KP. I use urea all the time for dry, cracked feet, anything like callus related. I love urea. It's a great ingredient. At higher concentrations, starts to crystallize a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, like, has tremendous performance benefits.
Yeah.
We should do a video, probably a dedicated video on urea.
Dude, I've got t-shirts coming. I'm telling you, I've got this thing hyped up to my ears inside.
Really?
I claimed this to be the year of urea. You can check with Dr. Swole.
The year of urea.
But now I'm launching. Oh. Now we're talking about it. Oh, so now I have to create some urea content on the road. Like this is, maybe we're seeing each other soon. Maybe we should shoot it next week because.
We can shoot a urea video. I will tell you. Something is. TBD.
Now is the time.
But you know, I'm a big urea guy. So I think those things are for the body. I do think that, you know, simple changes that you all can make today, starting today, is if you're using retinol, tretinoin, anything for the face, bring that down to the hands. I do think it makes a big difference. Patients complain all the time of sun damage on their hands, crepey skin on their hands. Take your retinol down to your hands during the day after you apply sunscreen to your face. Take that sunscreen that's a little bit left over and apply it to the back of your hands. And I think that actually will go a very, very long way for many of you. So that's simple changes you can make that will make a big difference for you.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I do love a good, I will say, a good sugar scrub in the shower for the body. I do love a good fragranced body wash, you know. But but I don't recommend fragrance, so I won't. But there is something sensorial about like a nice body cleanser. So I kind of break a little bit of my traditional facial rules when it comes to body skincare, but we can have a separate discussion about that.
Yeah, that's a good discussion. I love breaking the rules. I'm going to change my tagline. I already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to come up. I'm telling you, I'm making t-shirts. No one's going to buy them. We can just give them away. I don't care. But I'm going to like wear only custom Dr. Maxfield t-shirts with just stupid phrases. But it's all about the rules. That one's coming soon.
Breaking the rules. Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad for skincare.
No, it's no rules, just reasons.
Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that good? But I'm trademarking it, so deal with that world. No rules, just reasons.
I like it. I like it. Ooh, that's so good. That's so good. Oof, we got to do something about no rules, just reasons. That's such a good thing. There's so much we can build off of that.
That's just how we like, live. Everything.
Well,
is
we've talked
delivery.
About it, right? Like when it comes to mixing skincare, right? Like we have mm-hmm. a video like on our essentially like what ingredients you can mix and you can't mix. And in that video, like we basically say there are like essentially no rules, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, like, but there are reasons that we can, you know, maybe describe why or why you wouldn't want to use two things together. But there are very few rules. There are some rules we've talked about, but there are very few like hard and fast rules in skincare. So as long as you can understand the reason why, you can decide whether or not you want to follow a rule or you want to break that rule.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Ooh, that's good. I like it. I want to see this merch rolling out. Like I said, I got retinol sweaters coming. Stay tuned for that. Give some out to the audience. We'll wear them in our videos. They're pretty cool. Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up everything we wanted to talk about this week. Again, thank you all so much for support this past week on the launch. I mean, you all came out in droves. I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. I genuinely didn't. It's the first time I've ever tried to like sell my own thing or, you know, is you could see in the video that we made for YouTube. I was nervous. I obviously like cared a lot about the products, but I wanted you all to love them. And so just the outcome on launch day was just so overwhelming for me. So just thank you, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Maxfield, for your undying support as well. Is undying a phrase?
I think so, yeah. I'll take it. Thank you.
Undying. Let's see.
I know of undying
lasting
love.
Forever. For your undying support, I appreciate you always. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. We definitely appreciate everybody here. This is a wonderful community. I'm very thankful for it too.
All right, so we'll see you all next week. I asked a lot of questions to the audience, so we'll look on YouTube to see some of your responses on what you think about some of the questions we asked. And we'll see you all next week.
We'll see you next time.